Page 65, Tim O'Brien's How to Tell a True War Story. If a story seems moral, do not believe it. If at the end of a war story you feel uplifted, or if you feel that some small bit of rectitude has been salvaged from the larger waste, then you have been made the victim of a very old and terrible lie. War and storytelling has existed since the beginning of humans on Earth. Although these are two separate topics, they are connected. How might people be shaped by the stories they hear, and do these stories affect morals in fighting or not in war? I'm Jill Sandritter. Welcome to my podcast, where today we will be diving into storytelling. In order to develop a deeper and clearer understanding about war and storytelling, we need different perspectives. Special guest speaker Roger Herbert, former Outdoor Academy director and United States soldier, will be touching on how war stories can alter and shift a person's morals and decisions. How have war stories you've lived altered your choice in ethics with war?
Okay. Can I start with sort of a bigger picture of stories?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, the connection between stories and ethics is just huge, generally speaking, not just with war, but definitely for that. So, we all sort of swim in these narratives. We don't even kind of know we're swimming in a lot of them. That's, you know, sort of like a fish swimming in the water, doesn't know he's in water until he gets out. And then it's like, oh, bummer. Any community has this idea of tell stories about who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of keeping that community together, progressing the community, and preserving the heritage and the culture of a given community. Thinking about war, I think the stories about World War II, the quote unquote good war, which of course it wasn't a good war, but I mean, these stories kind of bring us together as a people. And then when the stories don't quite match what's happening, that community suffers sort of like a community cognitive dissonance. So thinking about the stories of the founding generation and freedom and liberty and all men created equal and all that had to run up against the reality of, for instance, slavery. So we as a nation, we suffer this cognitive dissonance, and actually we haven't quite solved it yet. And it's been very difficult. So that's kind of, I think, how narratives work, bigger. On the military side of the house, it's sort of the same thing. You have this idea of what your military is supposed to be, and then all these stories just start clinging to it. We have a tradition in the military of telling sea stories or telling war stories, but in the Navy, it's sea stories. And usually they're kind of funny or whatever, but there's always, when you get right down to it, there's always a hero and a villain.
Yeah.
And the hero, whoever that is, that's like, okay, this is who we're supposed to be as a community, represented by this hero, or the villain. Here's who we are not supposed to be as a community. Mm. And again, these stories build up so much that you don't even, know that you're living a story that may or may not be 100% true, or it's not 100% true. You know, it's not, but I mean, this is just sort of the story that we've told ourselves and we try to adhere to it. So my particular, the stories, the narratives that I think have affected me the most is a story that my community actually very deliberately made up. And it didn't make it out of whole cloth. I mean, it made it up out of who we thought we were. But so I was a SEAL, and it seemed like there was a time when we were having some disciplinary issues and things like that. And it was like, no, we need to get down to say, okay, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. So we sent a bunch of really qualified, capable people, not the most senior, you know, kind of mid-grade mm-hmm. people, say go, and we sent them off for like a month out on an island, San Clemente Island.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just sort of staring at your navel and bringing in various speakers.
Wow.
And they told a story about who we are. And if you ever get a chance to look at it, it's called The SEAL Ethos.
Totally.
And it's about a page long. And when you get done with it, you can kind of say, yes, I'm proud of that. That's mm-hmm. who I would hope the SEALs would be. And 99% of the time, I think we live up to that story. But there are times that we don't. And for me, one of the hardest things that I confronted, I guess I could take this a couple ways, but near the end of my career, I ran the training for all SEALs. I sort of ran the schoolhouse for the SEALs.
Wow.
I was like the Jesse, but for the SEAL team.
Yeah.
And we, as you could imagine, we instituted an ethics program there. We'd never had an ethics program. This was in 2006, by the way. We had never had an ethics program there, surprisingly. So I instituted one, and I brought in a very senior enlisted guy. They're called Master Chiefs. And we taught a very good ethics program. Okay, so fast forward a little bit. I was about to leave in 2008. And I ran into one of my former students in a parking lot, and he was now at SEAL Team One. And I said, hey, how's it going? And he's going, oh, it's going great. It's going great. And we talked a little bit about what he's doing. We went our separate ways. And he goes, hey, Captain Herbert, that's me. they didn't call me Roger. Okay. So Captain Herbert, and can I share something with you? And I said, okay. And he said, okay. So it was my first day reporting to SEAL Team One. And there were a couple of sort of senior enlisted guys that kind of brought me away and put their arms around me mm-hmm. and said, hey, we know what they're teaching, you know, over there at SEAL training right now, at Buds right now. I know what Captain Herbert and Master Chief Allgaier are teaching, and you need to forget all of that, because that's not who we are.
Wow.
You're a stone cold killer, and don't you forget it. What I have learned, I think, is there's these two competing narratives right now that since the SEALs have been at war for a generation, right? We went to war from 9/11 plus a few hours, and there's probably some SEALs outside the wire right now. You know, we're not wired to fight for a generation, to spend your whole, you know, every other war was 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. an entire generation at war. And it's caused moral injury. And so we are now battling those two stories. And I think that the narrative of the SEAL ethos still that's the main story. And that's where we find our identity. The narrative of the stone cold killer is alive. And it's a very dangerous narrative.
So would you say that stories can sometimes like divide communities?
They can if the community does not embrace one narrative.
Well, thank you so much for this interview. This was super interesting and helpful. So this is great.
Thank you, Jill.
Robin Wall Kimmerer's book, Braiding Sweetgrass, offers her perspective as an American Indigenous woman on issues of climate change, life lessons, society, and place. Her first chapter explains the commonly shared amongst Native nations in the U.S. world origin stories, Sky Woman Falling. She explains storytelling and in which ways individuals are shaped by them. Today, I will be interviewing Emily Northrop, whom is a science teacher at the Outdoor Academy. On page 7 of Sky Woman Falling, Robin Wall Kimmerer says, "Same species, same earth, different stories. Like creation stories everywhere, cosmologies are a source of identity and orientation to the world. They tell us who we are. We are inevitably shaped by them, no matter how distant they may be from our consciousness. One story leads to the generous embrace of the living world, the other to banishment." Were you personally shaped by this origin story or any other world origin story? It's funny you ask this question, because actually at times I've said that
Outdoor Academy is my own origin story, or my experience as a student here, you know, when I was 14, feels like the most distinct moment of becoming. It's kind of before and after, or how I still move through the world. I can often relate to OA, and sometimes I think I give away too much credit, and it's probably a whole number of factors, including my family, including myself, and things that happened to me when I was much younger. But still, my semester lives on as an origin story of a story for me.
Wow. Yeah, like it's so interesting how origin stories can be created from a time in your life where you're not just a child, when you're a teenager, like when you're at OA and you're in your sophomore or junior year of high school, or even when you're an adult.
Exactly. And that, you know, when you say a quote at dinner time, and I've often thought, well, the best quote is when you're quoting yourself, or you can, you're welcome to share an original thought. And we think of origin stories as having to be these wider cultural myths or legends, or right, something from the Bible, but mm-hmm. you can also create your own origin story.
How do you think stories might shape people?
I think stories are lessons in disguise, or sometimes not so in disguise. And any story is a reflection of someone's human experience, I mean, real or imagined, but even to be imagined, that there's truth in them. And I think being exposed to stories and perspectives and understanding, and sometimes I hear something that makes me feel so, it helps me understand something about myself, maybe that I felt but hadn't put into words, or thought maybe I was the only one that felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes like really sad stories, and just hearing the horror of the human experience, which is still real, feels like that opens my heart.
Thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you, Jill.
Moving back to early American history, a significant example of how Americans were shaped by storytelling is The Birth of a Nation by H.W. Griffith, a movie about the KKK founding. It sparked different perspectives of the Civil War. This movie enforced white supremacy by portraying Black Americans as evil and villains. This twisted people's opinions on the Civil War because of its ultimate ending, which was abolishing slavery. The idea that the Civil War should not have ended this way. This movie was broadcasted throughout the states, reaching as many people as possible, even U.S. congressmen. This movie was even screened in the White House. Storytelling is everywhere. It's in TV shows, movies, art, around the campfire, history books, and more. Stories shape us, whether it's good or bad. How have you been changed by stories? Thank you for listening. Once again, this is Jill Sandjordan.